Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. It's March. No. Yes, it's March 2nd. March 2nd. I thought I was going to say, no, it's February, but no, it's March 2nd, 2015. How amazing is that, to think that it's just screaming by like that. For those of you who are not thinking about it or haven't thought about it, Saturday night, if you attend church on Sunday, it will be important to you. If you sleep in on Sunday, it probably won't matter, okay? But the 7th of March, you set your clocks ahead. Am I right on that?
Yep.
Okay. Spring ahead, fall back, yeah. I remember one time years ago, I don't know, 30-some years ago, we forgot, we probably 33, 4, I don't know, we were fairly young Christians, and we didn't do that. And what ended up happening is we walked into church. That's back in the days when we came to church, right, on starting time. And everybody was coming out because we just missed church. So what we want to do is just to put it out there for all of you, set your clocks back. Fall back. No, spring ahead. Ahead. Did I say back? What do we do? Spring ahead. Don't set them back. That'd be a bummer. You'll be really messed up. I finished up on Wednesday, Thursday, the book of 1 John. Interestingly enough, let's look at it this way. We call it the book. It's actually a letter, and it's been bound in with other letters in the canon of the scriptures, and which we call the New Testament. A letter written to the church, as it were, to with some corrections in their lifestyle and what they're doing, and some love and some mercy and what happens with fellowship. And with Christ, you can have the assurance of eternal life, and you can get freedom from habitual sin if you trust in the Lord. And I mean, you have to act on what you've been told. You can't hear something and go, that's awesome, and then never receive it to the point where you act upon it. You have to act upon what you've been told. The same time, this second letter, and we're just going to go right into 2 John. It's interesting because it is definitely written because of context, as it were. At the same time, historians have set the date at the same year. I would personally believe it could be very soon after the first letter. But maybe to more people. The letters then would be passed around amongst believers, information, kind of like we get a newsletter of missionaries and what they're doing and what's going on, and people share that with other Christian friends, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's a cool thing. It's an awesome thing, and so it's not anything really that new. The difference is these are people who walked with Jesus, physically walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, physically talked with him, were in his presence. The first century Christians were many centuries removed from that now. You know, you got 19, 20 centuries later, same information, but it's look at the pattern here. You write a letter to someone, and again, that's almost something of the past. So I guess to remain relevant, I have to say you send a text to someone or a message on Messenger, or you email someone, you know. I don't know. Are we ever going to go back to actually handwriting a letter? I'm not sure how that's going to work. But these were written and sent and read. This is almost like a postscript, you know, a P.S. postscript. In other words, after I've written my first information to you, oh, by the way, I want to reemphasize this and also, you know, overemphasize it. he covers a couple things in just a few verses, and I think it's good, because in all reality, pardon me, he writes another letter, and we'll see what that's about too. But the letter written the second time, the main comments, ready, are a reaffirmation to love one another, a reaffirmation, and literally a commendation to walk in truth, and a commandment to love one another. You know, there's a command from God to love one another, and that's going to be reiterated here. Then, it's amazing, cautions concerning false teachers. I can't stress the fact, you know, people will tell me, and I get to preach every week, I get the privilege of preaching every week, and in a few days I get the privilege of going down and doing a memorial service for my aunt who passed away last week, and at least that's what tentatively what we're going to do. And so, to speak the truth, here these letters are encouraging, and I want to be an encouragement to others, but there's the same thing gets done over and over in these letters. People will say, we want to move on to something different. We want to move on. There isn't anything different to move on to. There is a maturity to move into and to walk in. There is a reaffirmation of certain things. There is a topical study of certain things. But if you read 2 John, and then you read 2 John again, and then you read 2 John, you go, I'm done with 2 John. Okay, let's read 1 John, which is four chapters longer of the same information. Well, we're done with that. Well, let's go to 3 John. I'm just going to topically look at this real quick. The third letter here talks about the influence of certain people, Gaius specifically. And, oh, wait a minute, the indictment of Diotrephes, his selfish ambition, his selfish activities, in other words, a complete creep. Wow, getting from watch out what's going on to, hey, watch out for false teachers, to here's a guy that's a jerk, and we'll mention him by name. So it takes the same topic, the same things, and reemphasizes them in such a specific manner, it names names. That's not the manner in which people want to see the church go today. They want it to go to warm and fuzzy and happy, and everything's good. We don't want to get deeper into the same subject. Let's go move on to a different subject that's more palatable. When I come out of church, I feel better about myself. That would be good. I don't think here's the problem. There's a difference. There's a change. I want to be convicted of areas in my life that are not pleasing to God. And when I really make that decision, and it's not somebody else making that decision for me, or somebody else preaching it, and then it has to happen because he or she has preached that or taught that. I want to get to the things that are in my life, and then I would like those things changed, and I understand the change has to happen by me being obedient to God. I don't just ride the monster, because the monster will come back and bite me and get me. I'm not stronger, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I know I have to rely on Christ. I have to know that. I have to believe that. I have to receive that. It is interesting to look at little things that are kind of interesting, as per se. So I guess that's why it's interesting. But listen to this. I read this little headline today, this morning. It's actually at 5 o'clock this morning. Listen to this. The head of the Jewish state is traveling to here. I mean, the United States. Well, if you look back in Scripture, and Esther, the head of the Jewish state is traveling to the palace of Ahasuerus, to cry out against the decree. Well, the present-day Ahasuerus is not a king ruling over 127 states, but he's one ruling over 50 states. He's not a drunkard or an idiot that we know of, but he's an apathetic person to the fate of the Jews. This is actually the third year of his second term, just as Ahasuerus was in the third year of his kingdom, according to the book of Esther. Esther arrived at the palace on the third day, after 3 days of preparations. Netanyahu will speak before Congress on the third day of its reconvening. It's not, we're not going to build a doctrine out of that, but it's sure interesting to look at that. It's sure interesting to think about that. And then I read another headline. that was so troubling, okay, that when we see those things and we put them together in correlation with what else is happening, is that there's a report in a Kuwaiti newspaper that said an Israeli minister revealed that there was an attack plan, you know, that was going to go on against Iran, and the Bethlehem-based news agency Maan was cited that a Kuwaiti newspaper report on Saturday said that the U.S. President Barack Obama had thwarted an Israeli military attack in the IAF, Israeli Air Force, against nuclear facilities in 2014 by threatening to shoot down Israeli jets before they could reach their targets in Iran. Shoot down Israeli jets. Now, I can't prove that, but for the United States of America and his constant apology across the world for us, when in all reality we have been nothing but peacekeepers. And by the way, when we do get involved in a war, we don't go in and take over all the property and rip everybody off. We never go in and occupy like that. So, and own, as the Brits have done. So we need to look at that and go, wow, that is a horrible possibility. Do I know if it's an absolute fact? No, it was reported, you know, of course, overseas in Israel and in Kuwait. But here's the problem. The mere fact that that could happen, and actually has happened to a certain extent, and that we've seen, we need to wake up. These letters need to be studied about who's doing what and what they're saying. Okay? So I'm just going to read this. And the way I'm going to cover this, I'm just going to read these verses that we're going to be looking at for the next couple days, okay? I'm going to read it right now. And there's 13 verses in this second letter, so it's really more like a postscript. It says, "The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. For the sake of the truth, which abides in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." See, it's a command. "And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is a commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it." Why? Okay. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you may not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you." Interesting. That's so heavy and so deep and so over the top that many people would be upset with that kind of preaching today. That's a teen verse, pretty much like a very small postscript. Most postscripts we see today are one sentence or two sentences. What that ends up used to be was, after you've written this whole letter, you did not want to rewrite the whole letter, and you had another thought that you wanted to place in there somewhere in the body of the letter that you had written to the person or persons, and you would put it as a postscript after the main part of the script. Here's a postscript, either something about something you wrote that updated it, something you missed and wanted to say. You know, today, really, there is really not much room for postscripts. You just go and erase, copy, paste, cut, put a new one in, bam. You know, you're not writing with your hands, but people still do it. And you'll see a lot of PSSs and PSSs, and people doing that. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's not congruent. It's not orderly, and they just throw a bunch of stuff in. Actually, what you should do is either write another letter and or concentrate a little more on the first one, or have a postscript that describes everything you wanted to describe. and not have a PS and a PSS and a PPS and PPSSS. I've seen some so ridiculous. This is absolutely getting more intense on what he just covered in five chapters, many verses in your Bible, pages in your Bible, four or five pages in your Bible. So he's saying it, and again, when we move on, probably next week, in that, because we're going to be gone here. I'm not sure how long or how many days we're going to be gone, but we are going down to do my aunt's funeral, so we're probably not going to be able to be on the air. So we may be maybe a couple days here, may only just miss a couple days, but we're going to continue through 2 John. We're going to continue into 3 John, and again, it gets more intense. It doesn't get less intense. It goes from really general information for the body to a little more specific information and talking, hey, this is the deal. This is the Antichrist, okay? This is a deceiver. You got to be very, very careful. There's many deceivers out there that are telling you don't have to love everybody. You don't have to love anyone. You can do whatever you want to do. There's just a lot of real mishmash of stuff. And then when you pop in on 3 John, it's right down to naming people. Naming people. And that's heavy, because people would say, well, we're not supposed to do that today. Well, I do, and I will. And I'll tell you what, before I was a Christian, I did non-Christian things. And not rightfully so, but understandably so, I was not a Christian. I did not know Jesus. I did not know salvation. I did not know what it was to be born again. I had morals. You know, I didn't think that just killing people indiscriminately or committing adultery or any of those things were fine. As a matter of fact, my generation would try to hide the fact that they were committing adultery or living in a not traditional relationship. And then, of course, my generation are the ones that brought out, hey, you know, whatever, if it feels good, do it type thing, which is just revisiting old things that have always been there. But there was a certain amount of moral fiber that was there. But I didn't know Christ. And so if people said, well, did you used to do that, and have you done that, and you did, yes. And it was wrong. And those things I didn't think were wrong. I think they were okay. They were fun. Those things I thought they were wrong, but I did it anyway. And those things, well, I just don't even have anywhere to go. They're wrong and no defense at all, none whatsoever. As a Christian, I made some bad decisions at times, and I would take full responsibility for those bad decisions. But I'm going to tell you that I did not pursue any kind of sin that I knew was sin and say, it's okay, and this is what we're going to do, and I'm going to not only do this, but I'm going to perpetrate this and teach it to everyone else. As a matter of fact, any time anything was questionable and people brought it to my attention, it stung, but if they were right, even if they were goofy, even if everything else in their life was messed up, but they brought a good point out because they were right, I take it as a rebuke, and I look at that and say, I want to change my life to be conformed to the pattern of righteousness that Christ has, and that only he can bring into our life. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, right, wrong, or other on that other person, right, wrong, or otherwise on that other person's part, if they brought a valid complaint or a valid thing about me, I had to look at that and go, yep, they're right. And I wouldn't go and endorse everything they said. So, I do mention people by name, because the things they're doing are so horrendous, yet so many people support them. And they need to just stop and just look at the things that these people say and do and say, okay, there's only two possibilities. They're extremely misguided, extremely poorly taught. They're not Christians, and they're just doing whatever. That it's the only two possibilities. I mean, there is actually another possibility. They're evil and they're wicked and they're doing all kinds of stuff to try to screw everything up. But I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. I don't know a man's heart. Only God knows our hearts. But I can tell you that if you make comments and you state them on tape or on video or on celluloid before and now on X's and O's or ones and zeros or whatever, where you can go on. I could right now open up my computer. I could go and to YouTube, and I could find, with very little effort, Jesse Duplantis saying that he left a pancake house through the roof, was sucked through the roof, and was brought into the presence of Jesus in heaven physically, that he walked around and saw flowers talking to him, and Jesus was about 5'5", and blonde-haired and blue-eyed. That's on tape, and he's never refuted that and said, man, I was on drugs that day, or I was out of my mind. Never has. If somebody says that and believes that and teaches that as something that has and can happen to you, you have to call into question everything he's saying. It's wrong. It's completely wrong. Now, he could have had all kinds of dreams and visions, but he did not physically, I just pounded my table, that kind of physical, hang out with Jesus, high-five him, walk and talk eye-to-eye with him, with his blonde hair and his blue eyes. It didn't happen. And I, you know, he can say it did, and I can say it didn't. He can say he experienced it, and I can say, no, you didn't. And they're both, you know, who's right, who's wrong. Well, line up with Scripture and find out. The Apostle Paul, who was caught up to the third heaven, he didn't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. He didn't know. He was not permitted to say what he saw. So what makes Jesse Duplantis any better of a person just because he's an old wild hair rocker? I want to rock. Is that why? I don't know. No, it didn't happen. So to name these guys. Now, could Jesse repent and say, you know what, I think I was on drugs. I don't know. I might have had a flashback. I don't know. I was just trying to make people love me and listen to me and trying to build my base and blah, blah, blah. It was wrong. If he said something like that, wow, I'd be the first one to report that. Say, hey, you know what? Jesse Duplantis just repented. Jesse Duplantis just said, you know, publicly that he didn't know what he was doing. It was da-da-da-da. He had a psychotic break. Whatever. However, and he said he was wrong. He just wants to love Jesus and see people come into Christ and be saved. That'd be good. That'd be a great testimony. It'd be awesome. And you could perpetrate that. And I would. If he actually did that, I would say everything that I had said about Jesse is now wiped clean because he has repented of that. And he said, no, it was not right. It's not right. That's not what happened. He thought it did because in his brain he thought it did. And all these guys. But what we see is these guys don't repent. And I'm telling you that when you read what he says here, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. He would say, well, no, I'm acknowledging him. I met him in the flesh. Well, no. Now what you've done is you've convoluted that scripture and twisted what else is written and said what someone was not able to do, you were able to do. So no, it's wrong. So to this point, to this day, at least to my knowledge, he has not recanted that. But who is that? It's the Antichrist, the deceiver. He says, watch yourselves that you might not lose what we've accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. If you go too far and don't abide in this teaching, the teaching of Christ, you don't have God. And the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Here's the deal. Any one of us, all of us, are going to make mistakes, have made mistakes, say things we wished we hadn't said, do things we wished we hadn't done. The guy just recently that ran his cart into the back of my car at Costco, I got angry. And I don't think it was good, but I think it felt good. I didn't hurt him. I didn't do anything bad. But in my heart, there was, you know, I was angry, and it could have escalated had there not been any kind of calming down of that. And I believe had I not been a Christian, it could have been really ugly. And maybe not any more ugly than it was, except for there would have been all kinds of, it would have been loud. The bottom line is, we as Christians are to be different. We're supposed to be different. Not because we're just being different for different sake, but because Christ has changed us. Christ has changed us. We're supposed to be new creatures. Behold, all things have passed away. All things are new. So that means that we're going to be experiencing things that we haven't experienced, that living the way we've never lived. That's the way it's going to go. That's what it would bring out, that we're new creatures, therefore doing something we've never done. Are you a new creature? Have you been transformed? Have you been renewed? Are you born again? Are you thankful when people bring it to your attention that things are a little goofy, that maybe you're not quite listening, and maybe you need to spend a little bit more time in God's Word? Is that encouraging to you? If it is, that's awesome. If it's offensive to you and you just can't wait to never hear the person say that again, you might have a problem. You might have a problem. I love being taught, and God's Word will always encourage you, and you'll always be taught listening to the Holy Spirit. So tomorrow is the 3rd of March. When's the Ides? Do you know, Marie? Beware the Ides of March. I don't know what that is. That's not scripture. Don't twist that. I have to figure that out. I think I'll research that and find that out. But tomorrow will be the 3rd, and hopefully we'll be there tomorrow at 11. If not, then you'll know that we've gone to do a funeral, and we'll be back soon. So you guys have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.